Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Just heard a Romanian doina, that's a Romanian shepherd's lament, music by Abe Schwartz, with an arrangement by Hankus Netsky and a chamber ensemble conducted by Russell Gurr. Itzhak Perlman was violin soloist, and this is a new album, Eternal Echoes. And we are here today with Maestro Itzhak Perlman as our guest.
Hello.
Maestro Perlman, Jill Pasternak, once again.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How are you? La Shana Tova for the holiday.
Thank you.
You promised me the last time we spoke that you were going to do another album and that you were very excited about it. And I guess this is it, The Eternal Echoes.
Yes.
And it's got a subtitle, Songs and Dances for the Soul. And I must tell you that when I was listening to it, as I do, you know, to all of the albums that I have to interview people for, I found myself thinking and feeling a kind of comfort. It was very odd. I was just listening, and all of a sudden...
That's a good sign.
Yeah,
that's a good sign.
This thing came over me. Like, it was really quite amazing and rather exciting, of course, that you have finally brought to fruition this connection and this teaming up with the cantor, Health God. I know you talked about it. You said you were so excited about it.
Yes. No, it was a great... it was a great project, you know, and we are not finished, you know. We're going to start playing concerts and doing performances, you know, using a lot of the repertoire on the recording and more. So it's just beginning, and I'm really, really looking forward to it because it's such, you know, I mean, the kind of pleasure that I derive from it is not just a musical one from my own, the kind of repertoire it is, but also when you listen to a singer like that, you know, you get inspired, and then you start to you know, fool around with sounds and with tones and so on, and trying to imitate what goes on vocally and breathing, etc. So it's an amazing experience for me as a player.
I would think so. And I, as you say, it's kind of an improvisational thing, like jazz in a way, you know.
Yes, it's a part of, yes, it's yeah. In some ways it is. In some ways it is. There is always. I think that improvisation in music is extremely necessary, and then there is there are various kinds of improvisations, and you know, there's a, you know, I always feel that we always deal with, at least it's necessary for us to deal with musical improvisation, which is, you know, unlike you know, what you say, klezmer or jazz, it's not so much adding notes or adding embellishments, but talking about different colors, different timings, different types of rhythms, in a very, very subtle way. So there is so if you compare, let's say, jazz or klezmer or contemporary music and classical music, the improvisation in classical music is extremely subtle. Obviously, it used to be, you know, that you. I think that Beethoven, for example, was a great improviser. And what he would do is he would play cadenzas and he would just make things up as he was going along. Today, we don't do that in classical music, but the improvisation that we do have to do, for me, at least it's most necessary, is to improvise what you do with the phrasing, what you do with colors, and so on. So it's more subtle. But in this particular recording, it was a combination of stuff was written out for me, you know, as well as, and then, and which in some ways it was like a guideline, which I chose either to take or to maybe do a little detour, as long as the final destination was the same.
Well, they call them, I think they call them charts in jazz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yes, exactly, exactly.
Nicht weit zu gehen, kann ich dir erzählen.
The Ram's Horn of the Messiah, the Shofar, written by Abraham Goldfaden and arranged by Hank Wisniewski. We heard a performance with cantor Yitzhak Meyer Helfgott and Yitzhak Perlman, violinist, and the chamber ensemble conducted by Russell Gurr. The shofar, the ram's horn, is an instrument that is sounded in the synagogue to mark the new year. A lot of this sounds like the it's kind of the Hasidic. I don't know. It's the these melodies.
Yes, there is a lot of Hasidic tunes, and then also we were able to combine some of these wonderful tunes with some. With some klezmer music, which a lot of it, for example, this song called the Dudele, the second half of that piece that the singer has is basically a klezmer tune, and then of course then we imitated that with actually a combination of a klezmer band and the violin and so on. So everything, you know, is all beautifully connected.
Adudala, a song to you, Master of the Universe, Master of the Universe, Master of the Universe, I will sing a song to you, you, you. Where can I seek you, and where can I not seek you? Where can I find you, and where can I not find you? You, you, you. Wherever I go, it's you, and wherever I stand, you're there. Always you, only you, again, it's you, above all, you, you, you. When something is good, you. And God forbid when something is bad, it's also you. Oh, you, you, you. In the east, you. In the west, you. In the south, you. In the north, you. You, you, you. In the heavens, you. On the earth, you. Above you, below you, you, you. Wherever I go, no matter which way I go, you, you. Those are the words for Adudala, a song to you, which we just heard performed by cantor Yitzhak Helfgott with Yitzhak Perlman, violinist, and the Klezmer Conservatory Band. But is there a line between, or is there such a thing as a classical way of singing? Or was there classical music written before the, well, say the late 19th century? I mean, a lot of this music is traditional. Are they chants?
Yes, it is. And of course, it started in the early 1900s and so on. And again, a lot of the way that it was brought up today, like with everything, has to do with people listening, you know, people listening to the cantors of, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago and more. And then obviously when these pieces started to be recorded, when recordings started to come up, people started to listen to the recordings. A lot of it has to do with listening. And that's the way the style gets carried forward. It's the same thing with jazz, how did so-and-so used to play that particular piece and so on. So it's the same thing with cantorial music. And the same thing is with klezmer music, how the style of the players, as well as how they used to, interpret a particular piece of music.
Well, you have kind of a call and response thing going on in this too. I mean, the cantor sings, and then you kind of answer on the violin.
Yes.
It's very. But I remember speaking with you. You had gone to Europe some years back, and I think you said you were learning how to play the klezmer style. That's what you told me. You said it's kind of a whole different thing, because it is so much improvisation. But I felt very much of that here in this recording as well.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Thank you. If you feel it, that's good.
Yeah, I felt it. I said he learned it, But it is different, isn't it? I mean, it's so you had written out music. Is that what it was?
Well, there was some music that was written out, and then when you sort of get the inspirational kind of call, as you start to play, you start to do something that maybe is not quite as written, as long as it's the proper key and as long as it's the proper harmonic progression and so on and so forth. And, so a lot of it has to do with the feel.
It's different, though, than when you are playing a piece of classical music and you put in your emotion and your interpretation. This goes beyond that, I think, doesn't it?
This can be, when you in a classical piece, if you play something, you would not necessarily change actual notes.
Unless you
play, let's say, a cadenza and you want to do something a little bit different in the cadenza, that's fine. But the actual, if you play a Mozart violin concerto, you don't say, oh, well, that's very nice. I'm going to change the note and I'm going to play, a different note, an octave higher and so on and so on. That we don't do. While in cantorial music and especially in klezmer music, you can really change notes. I mean,
Well, again, like jazz, I think.
Exactly.
It's very similar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's allowed. So that's why, you have to think of yourself in a kind of a different style and a different mode when you play this kind of music, when you play the klezmer music and when you do the cantorial. And when I did this recording, I took the written note as guidelines, and sometimes I would follow and sometimes I would say, oh no, I think I'm going to do something slightly different and so on.
Which is exactly what should happen, I guess.
Yeah.
We've just heard a traditional tune arranged by Hankus Netzky, Dem Turiske Rebens Chassid, the follower of the Hasidic master from Turisk, Itzhak Perlman, violinist with the Klezmer Conservatory Band, conducted by Russell Gurr. Now, what there was a phrase that I read about the revival of Jewish liturgical music. It's as though we haven't been really doing it right, and we're going to bring back the old thing or what was intended. That's kind of the feeling that I got. This isn't what you're used to hearing. This is really the real thing.
Well, this is old fashioned stuff. This is old fashioned stuff. This is stuff it's like I'm taking a trip from my childhood.
Ah, yes.
And that's what I heard in Israel as I was growing up. And so it's that's kind of thing that I felt very comfortable. And when we started to discuss both with Hankus and with the cantor as to what would be the repertoire of the recording, my first inclination was I want to do something that's close to my heart, that's something that's familiar to my ear, and so on. And it was the same thing with. When we did, we had a similar discussion when we recorded the Klezmer records, with the four different Klezmer groups. I was more into the old fashioned, Eastern Europe kind of style of music, and today, of course, there's a lot of, everything constantly evolves, but I wanted to just bring the time that I was growing up with it into this recording, and I think that we did. I think it was, and of course, Cantor Helfgott, the way he sings, it's a very old fashioned cantorial way of singing, which is what I grew up with, and that's what I love.
Hashem roi lo yechzor Bino is desher Yarevi tzeini Almei menucho es yenaleni.
We've just heard Mitzmor Le David, a psalm of David, which is better known as the 23rd psalm from the Bible. Written by Ben Zion Schenker, arranged by Hankus Netzky, and performed here by cantor Yitzhak Helfgott. With Itzhak Perlman playing on the violin and the chamber orchestra conducted by Russell Gurr. I wanted to ask you, I'm Jewish. I'm a Reformed Jew, so it's a different style that I'm used to. But the cantor, a great cantor, Helfgott, has a very different style. He's not an operatic cantor. He sings like he's praying, and that's what I felt. It was like the voice was, he was praying, and he was verbalizing musically. I mean, it was
Well, the repertoire is many of them are prayers. A lot of it is prayer.
But stylistically, it's the Kol Nidre at the end is very different from what we're used to hearing, which is kind of gigantic operatic.
Exactly. Kol Nidre is a very interesting piece because there are so many versions of it. Depending on what synagogue you go to and what chazan or what cantor you're listening to, you will hear maybe the beginning would be sort of familiar, and then from then on it would either be, the phrases would either be repeated in different ways or stylistically there would be something else, and sometimes there are some actual phrases that are different from others and so on. And I know that I used to sometimes find myself in Europe during Yom Kippur. I would go into a place, you know, I would find a synagogue to attend a Kol Nidre service, and it would be quite fascinating to me to listen to the way they would sing in, let's say, in Switzerland, mm-hmm. or in Italy, as opposed to, or in Israel for that matter, as opposed to New York, and so on. And everything would be totally different.
Different in what way? I mean, it's very hard to describe, but I had interviewed when the Three Cantors came out, that wonderful, disc. I had interviewed one of the cantors, and he explained that there were certain indications in the Torah that were written, inflections and so on, that one as a cantor would employ when they're singing. I don't know if that's what, I mean, is that something that is standard?
Well, yes. I mean, the thing is this. Every cantor has their own kind of attitude towards, they add some of their own individuality, their own stamp. Since there are little variations within this piece, within the Kol Nidre, that and some of them like one phrase, some of them like another. So as a result, what they can do is they can sort of repeat something, mm-hmm. and reconstruct it in a certain way that would make them feel, that would give them the feeling of the drama that is necessary to sing that piece.
But is there a tonality? I mean, is there a melody? Is there a written theme?
Well, the melody, yeah, the melodies are more or less there, but sometimes they're different melodies. Sometimes they're phrases that are added to the whole piece, and everybody has when we recorded it. Hankus Netzke, who was in charge of arranging it, and he did some of the arrangement, discussed it with the cantor, and because we discussed as to what style and how he sings that piece, how he sings the Kol Nidre. And so there was a place where he would say, no, I don't do it here, I repeat that, I skip that, and so on. So it was a question of the arrangement. A lot of it, there are many, many different arrangements of the piece. And of course, for people who are not familiar with that piece, for people there is a classical piece called Kol Nidre by Max Bruch for cello and orchestra. So you can listen to the beginning of the piece when the cello comes in, and that's basically the beginning of Kol Nidre, and then it goes to a particular arrangement, which some singers use and some singers don't, and so on. So this one was something that Cantor Helfgott was used to doing, and that was something that he would sing when he does the service.
So that, of course, is a classical piece, but that's exactly what I felt. I felt I'd never heard it like this. I mean, most of the cantors that I have heard are primarily, they have operatic voices.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that he's got the most amazingly operatic voice.
Yes, he does.
We're not talking about the voice. We're talking about the style.
The interpretation.
Of the way he's singing.
And you feel it.
And that used to, exactly.
Yeah, you do. It's very, very, it's, as I said, it's more like a plea to God. You feel this prayer. It's a wonderful way of it's like speaking to God, and it's
that's the idea.
Or thanking God or whatever you want to do, but it is in a voice that is sung, but it's a voice, and that was, it's very, very evident on this, very interesting, and just very exciting. And I was thrilled to see that you actually, this had all come to fruition, because lots of times you have plans and you said I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, and
we decided this is not going to fail, we had to do this because it was just too good and too important. So I'm happy it worked up.
And it did.
Out.
And I just want to tell you, it's a joy once again to hear you and to see how you're still evolving in what you're doing in your playing, things probably that you that are lots different than the concerts you've been playing for many, many years. So thanks again for giving us the time.
My pleasure.
Maestro, it's really a pleasure. And thanks again.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Kol Nedra actually is translated as All Vows, and it is sung on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And we heard a traditional performance arranged by Hanko Snetsky with the text from the Aramaic liturgy, performed here by cantor Yitzhak Meir Helfgott, with Yitzhak Perlman, violinist, joining him in the performance, along with the chamber orchestra conducted by Russell Gurr. We are coming to you with this crossover between the two major holidays, the beginning of the Jewish New Year, which was Rosh Hashanah, and the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. I'm Jill Pasternak. A happy holiday to all of you. We close with, May the Holy Temple be rebuilt, She'ibon Beis HaMikdosh, an arrangement of music by Israel Shor, by Dmitri Slepovich and Hanno Snetsky, from the liturgy in the Hebrew text. Until next time.
Bonne beis amikdosh bimeiro veyomeinu besein chelkeinu besoer osecho Shei bonne beis amikdosh bimeiro veyomeinu yei rotzoi milechone
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group, Incorporated. Thanks for listening.